Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey moms, dads, teachers, and coaches. Visit PNCAchieversBaltimore.com and nominate a local high school lacrosse player who demonstrates excellent leadership qualities in the classroom, community, and on the field. Every Tuesday from March 3rd to May 19th, we will be highlighting a PNC Achiever on air and online.
This is WJZ-FM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 The Fan, and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
The Orioles didn't make it easy on themselves last night, but still emerged victorious 9-7 over the Marlins thanks to some timely offense. Despite receiving three runs of support right out the gate, Chris Bassitt was only able to last four frames while giving up four runs. It's been a common theme for him so far in 2026, as four of his seven outings have come up short of the five-inning mark, and his ERA has now risen up to 5.91.
Not playing a clean brand of baseball like today, I think I was kind of the reason for that. We had five walks and all five scored. That was the only way they could possibly win today with our offense, the way that it was clicking, is just us being ourselves.
There's the veteran pitcher after the win. Brandon Young is next in line for the rotation and will take the mound tonight against Miami's Eury Pérez, first pitch at 6:40. From the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers on and off throughout the day, highs near 70. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Maryland.
The big boys. It's time to feed you some NFL Lunch here. And it's fitting that food is at the center of this whole big story with Stephon Diggs and the alleged at the time, which has now been cleared. He's been found not guilty of felony strangulation charge, misdemeanor assault, all of this stemming from a December 2nd encounter, an alleged December 2nd encounter at Diggs' home, where he had a former live-in personal chef, who was known as Mila, I believe that's the pronunciation of the name, testified that he had slapped her, choked her during an argument or a dispute over payment for her services, that sort of thing. The entire time, he maintained his innocence, pleaded not guilty in February. It went to trial. Trial only lasted 2 days. It ended yesterday, where he was acquitted on all charges, which now clears his path to return to the field after he was cut by the New England Patriots earlier this offseason. A strange saga, to say the least. I mentioned earlier in the show that this went from courtroom drama to comedy in a hurry because some of the stuff that was testified here, that was said, not your average courtroom proceedings. Stephon Diggs didn't even talk once, just sat there.
Didn't need to.
Didn't need to. Apparently, she dug her own grave the inconsistencies.
Nolan, it was that's one that, you know, you put on TV and it's like, are you serious?
Right.
You know, even the judge was like, you gotta answer that. No, I can't. She was not prepared. And the prosecuting attorney, he's got to be like, oh, my God. If I knew it was going to be like this, why'd I even take it to trial? Because Stephon Diggs, I'm sure he was like, laughing afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, it's still an interesting, funny story and made headlines at the time. I mean, hard to think that it didn't play a major role in the Patriots' decision to get rid of him. I know some of it was financial, the way the contract was structured. It was set to take a pretty significant hike in terms of cap hit, but after the season he had and really being Drake May's only top weapon, I know they're flirting with AJ Brown now, but man, I mean, that was a pretty big choice to move on from him.
Well, let me see. He's had what, three three new teams in 3 years, going to be a fourth now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that goes back to my thing about the headache bigger than the he's had good production, but he's going to have some headache issues. You know, he brings drama.
Yes.
You know, is what he does. And I don't, you know, he's a good player, but he's, seems like he has a lot of issues with women, you know?
Well, there's that. I mean, the whole Cardi B thing, that's something we don't even have enough time for today. But
no, but like the chef, the lady, she's cooking for Cardi B and her kids. Or,
well, the cuisine was apparently not up to snuff.
I could be his chef.
The humorous side of this, let's see here. Mila Adams' testimony revealed that on December 2nd, 2025, she served him dried-up hot dogs with mustard. Which became a focal point of tension spilling over, which, I don't know, was there tension, was there not tension? He's been acquitted, but there was the video of her dancing, of the apparently taken the same day that she said that she was at a level 10 in terms of pain after being roughed up in her allegations, and she's doing the Dougie or whatever. Like, it's seriously, it's like straight out of a comedy. You couldn't even write this. But
she was out for one thing. Cash.
That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. But the hot dog, man, personal chef making hot dogs? Come on.
I mean,
we do a little better than that.
You would think.
I hope. Maybe it wasn't the hot dogs. Maybe he didn't want the mustard. Maybe he's a staunch ketchup or relish man.
Well, I think, Nolan, that what she was being paid for, you know, as the chef came with extra benefits.
Yeah, that's reading some of that here. There's a alleged proposed trip to Miami that maybe fell through, that she wasn't too pleased about that. So that's the off the field stuff. But the on the field side of things is he's now, with his name cleared, he can sign with any team. And among the receivers that are available, I mean, he's got to be at the top of the list. So we start thinking we're going to play matchmaker here. What seems like a good fit? I mentioned that story during Buy or Sell the other day about people suggesting that the Rams should scoop him up as a good ideal third. That's a lot of personalities in that wide receiver room, though. But there's certainly other teams out there that are a little more needy at wide receiver than L.A., I would think.
I would say, yeah, the Rams. I could say L.A. Chargers could use a receiver. I would think that. And he's already been to Buffalo. I mean, you look, he's had some damn good quarterbacks he's played with. You know, that's the thing.
Him and Josh Allen apparently didn't see eye to eye towards the end. That was a big part of his dismissal there. So it's not even the off the field stuff. You know, he can be contentious in the locker room, it seems. I know there's some fans that would like him here in Baltimore.
No.
We've been down that road.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I got a young coaching staff and all that. No. No. I would not want him. I wouldn't, maybe he's a great locker room guy. I don't know, but I don't need all the drama.
Mm-hmm. The chance of it, right? I mean, we're balancing here. What's the upside versus the potential catastrophe downside? And I don't know if the upside is that tantalizing.
Yeah, and you just drafted two rookies. You want to give them all the reps and everything. So, no, I would, that would be one I would pass on.
Let's get out to the phones here. Let's get Trippy in Baltimore. He always wants to talk Ravens. What's up, Trippy?
Hey, what's going on, Nolan and Vinny?
What's up, Tripp?
Hey, man, I'm just chilling, man. You know, waiting for the schedule release to come out. I don't know when it's coming out, but the NFL need to hurry up, man. But
I think the week of the 18th.
Yeah, 2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, even better. But about the Stephon Diggs thing, right? I called in early on the Big Bad Morning Show. And I was basically saying we don't need him, right? But the more and more I look at it now, I might be sounding crazy right now, but I wouldn't mind using him because I'm looking at his numbers, except for that the 8 games he played with the Houston Texans. I mean, he had, what, 496? But the only reason why I'm saying, like, man, we had a receiver for 5-6 years, man. He barely got over, what, 1,500 yards? Rashad Bateman. So I'm looking at it like one thing about – now, I don't know about off the field, but on the field, he do produce, man. And y'all saw what he did that Sunday night against us. I mean, I wouldn't mind him. I mean, especially if we're running like a full receiver set. But I also agree with Nolan, man. I want to see these young kids, do their thing. Like, for instance, we still got Tez Walker, LaJonte Wester. We got Jacoby Lane. We got Elijah Surratt now, right? That's four other receivers. Mm-hmm. Plus, Zay, that's five right there that I want to see produce. I'm really not – I ain't going to lie. I'm really off the Rashad Bateman train. And I'm just looking at it like this. Maybe he stay. Maybe we can get some trade value for him or something. But at this point, it's just like, do he even want to be a Raven now? Because, like, if – I'm going to put it like this. If Rashad Bateman can't get 1,000 yards this year, he got to go. He never got 1,000 yards. And one thing about it, and you've been a witness of this in Nolan, Raven fans will trash Rashad Perriman, right? But the problems with him was he was hurt. Now, when he left the Ravens, I mean, I ain't going to say he was
a lot of drops.
Had a lot of drops, but he tossed the Ravens every time he played the Ravens, you know what I mean? But other than that, that's all I wanted to say, man. So whatever the Ravens want to do, man, just bring in some guys. We need some people that play like a Raven. And I feel like Dave's play like a Raven. But I don't know, man. If he don't get the ball and stuff, I don't know how to act. But, I mean, he did lose the Super Bowl last year. So maybe, you know, he might can humble himself, though. But that's all I wanted to say, man. Y'all enjoy y'all Wednesday, man. Great listening to y'all, man.
All right, Trip.
Same to you. Yeah, I get the sentiment with Bateman for sure, right? And you really can't put a ton of stock into him. I'll set the bar lower than 1,000 yards because, to be fair to him, his really nice season a couple years ago, what was it, 800?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need out of him.
Yes.
Zay's going to be my yardage guy. If Bateman's in that territory of 800 yards as a number two, is that the sexiest number in the world? No, but for the way this offense is structured, where Andrews is going to feast, Zay is going to feast, and you're still going to be run heavy, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need my number two to be over 1,000 yards.
Yeah, the thing is where there may be more yards available is like that year that, what was it, 2 years ago, when Likely and Andrews, they combined for over 1,000 yards. You know, and if Andrews is going to get 300 to 400, who's getting these other yards, you know, and touches?
Right.
That because I don't. Likely made a ton of plays after the catch. And I don't know that they replaced Isaiah Likely.
Yeah, I mean, Bateman would be the ideal yak guy. Zay, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I
Zay gets his. The problem with Zay is, there's one problem with Zay. He didn't score touchdowns. You know, that's the problem with Zay. I mean, red zone, forget it. You don't want him in there in the red zone. You know, you're going to bring in, you know, these young kids if
big guys, they can handle big catch radius.
You know, no doubt. Especially like Jacoby Lane would be my go-to there.
Yeah, I mean, the Bateman thing, it's so puzzling because I honestly can't remember the last time I saw him catch something across the middle, like where he was given the chance to catch it in stride and take off. They always go back to that Jets game from, God, it was probably 4 years ago at this point, where he just caught a quick slant over the middle and took it to the house. And after that play, I was like, man, I'm going to see this. I don't even know how many more times in this guy's career. Yeah. This guy's going to be great. And then, like last year, I feel like every attempt going his way, it was something down the sideline, and it wasn't even a competitive ball. Him and Lamar were completely out of sync. That's got to change. I know Bateman was a little disgruntled with coaching, but that's where I'll say, hey, get your head in the game. Like, new coaching staff here, Declan Doyle. Like, if it doesn't work with them, then maybe you're the problem. Not maybe, you are the problem. Right, you can't get along with multiple different OCs. It's on you, man.
There's some issue because it's up and down, you know. And what Bateman are you getting?
Right,
and which, you know, are you getting the Bateman that's all in? You know, just like I didn't feel like Lamar was all in this past year. You know, just body language wise, and same with Bateman. I mean, seemed like Bateman gets frustrated real easy.
That's the thing. Like if he's not off to a hot start, where's that he's going to regain it or he's going to get it back? Like if he shuts down and does the moping thing and all that, you know, he's not going to, even if the ball starts coming his way, he's still not going to be happy. So it's like, you got to feed this guy and appease this guy right from the jump and maintain this morale. Now that I'm talking through this, bring Stephon Diggs in here, man. I mean, this is, I don't know.
The thing about it is with that type of receiver, with like bait, get him a couple early, you know, and get him going. To me, that's what you're going to have to do is, You got to get him going early. You got to let him have some success early. You got to get him engaged into the game.
1:30, we're going to talk to Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk. We'll ask him more about what he thinks is next for Stephon Diggs, what would be a good landing spot for him, and thoughts on the NFL, what's going on in general. But coming up next, AL East report for today, and we got a doozy for you here. Three games, besides the Orioles, in action in the division last night, but the big drama came from Red Sox versus Tigers. Benches cleared. If you missed it, we'll let you know what happened when we come back on the other side.
Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. The Fan.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan. Sponsored by Petro. For the best AC system tune-up and repair services, go with your local HVAC pros. Go with Petro. Visit Petro.com or call 844-482-2496 today.
Trevor Story is going to get drilled.
That's tired.
After the back-to-back home runs, Valdez plunks him. And some of the Red Sox coming out.
That's
and some of the Tigers coming out. And both benches are emptying.
You can't get them out, so you throw at them. What a joke.
Call there on Nesson, the Red Sox crew. You hear a little bias there at the end. But to be fair, that was very much, at least from the a casual observer's viewpoint, an intentional throwing at a batter by Framber Valdez of the Detroit Tigers. He was getting knocked around. He was getting shelled. 10 total runs allowed in this one, 7 earned in just 3 innings of work. Now, he gave up the 5 spot in the third, comes back out for the fourth, doesn't record an out, gives up back-to-back home runs. Trevor Story comes up to the plate, gets drilled right in the middle of the back, right between the numbers and the nameplate. High heater with the fastball. Now, he says afterwards it wasn't intentional. Also said that it's bogus that he got thrown out of the game, because it was not immediate. You know, the benches cleared. There's no real fighting or scuffling, really. I think that was actually kind of telling that, you know, the Red Sox reacted that way, and then the Tigers bench wasn't getting aggressive. I think they kind of knew, like, oh yeah, he was clearly throwing at him. He's clearly pissed off. But the end result is a 10-3 victory for the Red Sox, who were desperate for any sort of win. But this is a moment you maybe feel like this could rile them up a little bit, right? Guy gets hit. You have a big game in general. Maybe that's a turning point for them. But conversely, Framber, I mean, he was going to be out of the game anyway, whether he got ejected or not. He was stinking it up. But for their rotation right now, Casey Mize injured, Tarek Skubal injured. If he gets handed a suspension here, even missing one turn through the rotation, they can't afford it right now. So this was something last year with Framber crossing up his own catcher. There was that whole drama. I was willing to brush that to the side when we were talking about potentially bringing him to Baltimore. I said, it's one incident. Got frustrated. What does it matter? This last night, this is clear as day. This is a guy that was getting his brains beat in, couldn't handle it, and took it out. And now it's going to be at the detriment of the team, not just for one game, potentially moving forward, Vinny.
Yeah, you know, and without any losing Skubal is hard enough, you know, for the morale of your team,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then Valdez doing what he was doing, and you're just a bad look, and you're gonna have to bring guys up from the minors and stuff, and they're probably not gonna be happy about that, and it's got to, you know, the other players on the team are looking at him probably like, what the hell are you doing? You know what we got going on
mm-hmm.
if he gets suspended.
Right, and I would imagine even after giving up that 5 spot in the third, the thought with bringing him back out for the fourth is, all right, you're the ace, you're the front end type of guy. Don't have your best stuff. We need you to eat some innings. And now you can't even do that, you know, you get thrown out of the game. So it's bad all around. Elsewhere in the division, the Blue Jays were taking on the Rays. And Tampa Bay, man, they just keep finding ways to win. Now, 23-12 overall this season. They beat Toronto 4-3 last night. And has been typical fashion for them. It's always a different guy every single night. This time, Ben Williamson delivered the go-ahead RBI in the eighth. No Brian Baker for the save, but it was still a former Oriole. Cole Sulcer got his second save of the year. You remember, it feels like ancient history when he was here during COVID times. Got traded to Miami with Tanner Scott. That's what people got. sent together, and I couldn't even tell you the return. I looked it up this morning, and I already forgot. It was nobody significant, so Orioles kind of whiffed on that trade. But Cole Sulcer, good on you. Just don't do that against the Orioles. And lastly, the Rangers and the Yankees here, another team that keeps on winning. Yankees victorious 7-4 over Texas last night. Early on, they were immediately in a hole. Rodriguez was starting for New York, immediately gave up three in the first inning. Yankees are facing Jacob DeGrom, who's been fantastic this year. And what do? They go up and put six runs across against him. So this Yankees team is absolutely scorching hot right now, led by Cody Bellinger. 2-for-3 last night, three RBIs. Now has 12 hits in his last seven games, 11 RBIs in that same span. You can cool off anytime you'd like. We'd appreciate it. Coming up next here on The Fan, we'll be joined by Miles Simmons of Pro Football Talk. Talk all things NFL with him, but the big news, as we discussed during NFL lunch, is Stephon Diggs seemingly being eligible to return to the NFL. The ESPN piece I was reading said, well, he is still technically eligible for discipline from the league, but I can't imagine they could get away with any sort of suspension there. I mean,
yeah, what?
That's one where the legal system did the work for you guys. Don't sweat it. But we'll get Miles' thoughts on that and what would be a good landing spot for old Diggs there. That's coming up next here on The Fan.
If you're thinking about it,
every day,
we're talking about it.
That's what I'm talking about.
105.7 The Fan. Got a hot take? The Plaza Ford text line. 410-583-1057. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
After recording just 10 total runs across four games in New York, the O's bats woke up last night to help take down the Marlins 9-7. Pete Alonso set the tone right from the jump with a two RBI double and later picked up a pair of walks and another hit before his night was done. He's now working with a six-game hitting streak, leading to these post-game comments from Craig Albernaz.
Yeah, bat quality has been steady all season, and now he's starting to find his groove, starting to find his timing. You know, like, he's taking his walks. You know, his ability to drive the ball to right field has been coming on as of late, and now you're seeing the adjustability with the off-speed stuff.
And the Thunder remain perfect so far this postseason after beating the Lakers 108-90 last night. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored a season-low 18 and had a season-high 7 turnovers, but Chet Holmgren was able to pick up some of the slack with 24 points and 12 rebounds. The series resumes tomorrow night in Oklahoma City. From the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers on and off throughout the day, highs near 70. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
The Vinny and Haney Show, sponsored by Valor Roofing. Trust your home to Valor.
Just a few segments left in today's show. Vinny and Haney here on 105.7 The Fan. Nolan McGraw in for Bob Haney today, but don't worry, he'll be back tomorrow. Vinny Serrato here as usual. Get out to the phone lines here. The Window Nation fan guest hotline brings us from Pro Football Talk, Miles Simmons. Miles, good afternoon. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Always good to hear from you. And we start here with the big news out of the NFL this week. The Stephon Diggs drama has been resolved. At least we think his name has been cleared, at least as far as the courts are concerned. Now this means what's next for him? Free agent. Free to sign with anybody he wants. I would assume that his name is at the top of the wide receiver market list. Do you have a hunch, any lean on what would be a good landing spot for him?
You know, it's interesting because he is a veteran receiver, right? We saw that he can still be productive in an offense last year with New England. Not necessarily surprised that they elected to move on from him. I mean, you know, let all the off the field stuff aside, he is, you know, an aging wide receiver. But I think with guys like that, their hands, you know, don't usually just go away, right? I mean, you've seen the same thing with DeAndre Hopkins over the last few years. You know, the explosiveness may not necessarily be there, but that is somebody that can still be a reliable target for you. So I don't necessarily know what that means for the market for his services. Certainly, you know, you look at teams that didn't maybe draft a receiver high, you know, other teams that might, you know, have familiarity with him from the scheme. So it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. I mean, I don't know if like a place like Tampa, you know, after you lose Mike Evans, do you roll with guys like Ibuka and Godwin at the top of the depth chart and then maybe bring Diggs in or not? Maybe Houston, you know, they have familiarity with him. Perhaps he could go back there as well. I'm not sure at this point. I would also say that there's a non-zero chance, and I don't know how big of a chance it would be, that Diggs could still face discipline under the NFL's personal conduct policy. It's something we're actually looking into at PFT right now, so stay tuned to ProFootballTalk.com for updates on that. But I think, you know, with the criminal case closed, then you are going to probably see teams be more active with him in the free agent market. I think that certainly could be the case.
Now, Miles, talk to me about, seems like we're getting something close to being done with the refs.
Yes, it does. And that's honestly a good thing. You know, the referees are apparently going to have a vote for ratification of the new CBA with the NFL. And I thought that this was very interesting. You know, when you had Roger Goodell at the Super Bowl basically saying, hey, we think that officiating right now is great, okay? But we want to make sure we get calls right. But while praising the officials, then you get to March and you get to the league meeting and you have NFL personnel coming out and saying, hey, this is not good enough from what we've seen from an officiating standpoint. We want to make improvements. The league even voted to have basically very much almost everything reviewable from the standpoint of if they were going to have replacement referees. They've been really clear that this is the route that they're going to take. And so I think whatever public pressure the NFL did try to exert really worked, because what kept coming up in my mind was we keep hearing the NFL side of this and what it is that they want from the referees in terms of concessions. We haven't necessarily heard what the referees are trying to do, right? And the referees didn't really make a good public case for themselves. And so now we're seeing that, hey, they made enough progress on a deal that this thing is going to go up for ratification. It kind of seems like whatever the NFL was trying to do there really did work. And also that the NFL actually might have been right in terms of what it was that they were looking for from the Referees Association. So I'd be curious to see what the CBA ends up looking like if indeed it does get ratified this week. I hope it does, because I don't think anybody wants to go back, you know, what we saw in 2012, where we had the Fail Mary and just the chaos that comes with replacement referees. It just would be better if things are ratified. And so hopefully that'll happen in the next few days.
Talking to Miles Simmons here from Pro Football Talk on the Fan Window Nation guest hotline, and locally, on a local level this time of year, we're always grasping at anything we can get, any sort of entertainment value, as it's sort of a slow period of the NFL calendar year. And one thing that's generated at least some buzz here in Baltimore is the whole Diego Pavia, bringing him in as an undrafted rookie. What's your take on him as a potential quarterback at the next level? And, I mean, what does he really have to show to convince a team out there to give him a backup kind of job?
Well, I don't know. I mean, did he grow like 3 inches?
He didn't. I saw him Saturday. Right. He did not grow.
Yeah, man. You know, one of the things that I did at the combine, you know, because whether you guys have been there or not, you know, they have both of the podiums, right? And then they come off the podium, and then you can kind of tell how tall they are. You know, you can take a look at what their build is sometimes, right? So I went over and I stood on the side, kind of where, you know, the guy would come right off the podium. Because I'm like, I want to see with my own eyes what Diego Pavia looks like. And for reference right now, I'm 6 feet, right? So like 6 feet even. And that's, you know, I always say that I don't really want my quarterback to be shorter than me. Because if you're shorter than me, you're going to have a hard time seeing over the line. And you really got to find passing windows. And there are only a few quarterbacks that have done this well at a high level, right? Diego Pavia was substantially shorter than me. So, like, that's something that's working against him. And you also have the off-the-field junk that he did, you know, and rightly or wrongly, people are judging him for it, right? So I was honestly a little bit surprised that he even got signed to a deal, right? I thought that tryout, sure, I get it. But then the fact that you sign him, okay, that means you actually do believe in him and his ability, at least a little bit, as the camp arm. And right now, I think what the Ravens have, 4 quarterbacks, 2 of them are Lamar Jackson and Tyler Huntley. That's your starter and your backup right there, right? So that is what it is. Then you have the 2 UDFAs that have now come in. So I don't know if Diego Pavia, let me put it this way. If Diego Pavia is playing for the Ravens at some point this year, something has gone horribly, horribly wrong, right? I mean, it's two catastrophic injuries, basically. So even if he does make that roster, you have him in as a developmental guy, maybe, you know, somebody you say, all right, let's see what he can do in the preseason. But I think that, you know, I was surprised that he got a free agent contract just based on all the stuff that comes with Pavia. We'll see, you know, you guys can go out there and see him at practice if it actually looks worth it. But I'll tell you what, man, when you see that there's a clip floating around on social media of him like almost lining up under center, and it's like the center's butt was at his chest, like that's something.
Now, Miles, I've probably been to 20 combines at least. Now, Miles, if I'm a Bengals fan, am I a little bit worried? Because every time I see Joe Burrow, it is at some function. He's in Europe at this fashion, something. You know, if I was a Bengals fan, should I be worried? Because it seems like Joe Burrow is everywhere but Cincinnati.
He's a man of many interests. I mean, do you want to be in Cincinnati in May right now? I mean,
I seen his girlfriend. I'd probably rather be with her.
I got a summer house.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. I don't know. I think, you know, if Joe Burrow were as good as he is, you know, and we see it all the time, right? Especially you guys, you know, covering the AFC North. This guy is one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. It's just a matter of can he stay healthy now? And, you know, it's unfortunate that the injury bug has bit him as often as it has. But I think when he's right, then there's no one that's that much better than him at playing quarterback in the National Football League. So I don't think it's that big of a problem. You know, if I'm a Cincinnati fan, my main concern is, hey, can we protect this guy? Can we be a little more creative with our offensive scheme? And can we actually stop people from scoring points? Because that's really been what's been Cincinnati's undoing over the last couple of years, is just how bad that defensive unit has been.
Talking with Miles Simmons of Pro Football Talk, and one more for you here, Miles, from Diego Pavia, who is very much not a sure thing, to maybe the most surest of all things in Jeremiah Love out of this year's draft. I was asking Vinny about this earlier. Could he suffer a similar fate that Ashton Jeanty did last year, where we all thought that Jeanty would roll right in, he was in a great situation with the Raiders, but that O-line ended up being his downfall? Arizona, not the best O-line either. Are we looking at a similar thing here with Love?
Potentially, yes. And part of that is the quarterback position, too, right? I mean, if you're playing Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, God love him, like, that's not the biggest threat at QB. Neither is Carson Beck, for that matter. But I think one of the biggest differences is going to be scheme, right? Mike LaFleur has a good reputation for building good run games. He's been around Kyle Shanahan. He's been around Sean McVay. So the scheme is going to be set up much better, I think, for Jeremiah Love than it was last year for Ashton Jeanty, who was playing for Pete Carroll, who loves to run the football, but also Chip Kelly as the offensive coordinator, at least to begin the season. And that obviously didn't go well because he got fired. But it just, that offensive scheme was a mess. There was no real flow to it. I think that at the very least, there will be some opportunities for Jeremiah Love to pop one just because of that scheme and how well they run those that zone scheme, you know, in the Shanahan and McVay kind of system of the world. Also, I guess I should, you know, give his brother credit, Matt LaFleur, right? I mean, these are all guys that certainly talk about football and about attacking defenses. So, yeah, I think that there's a better opportunity for Love in this year than it was for Jeanty last year. But, again, I mean, that's one of the toughest divisions in football, and those defenses are also quite good. So, yeah, it might be a trying year for Love, but I don't think it's going to be quite the same as what we saw from Jeanty.
Always good to talk about the NFL with Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk. We'll be talking to you soon, man. We're always hitting your lineup here.
Yeah. Hey, Miles, real quick, when is Kelsey and Taylor Swift getting married?
Yeah, man, I'm not page six. I don't know. It's supposed to be sometime in June, July. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess I probably should pay more attention, right? It's the NFL wedding of the century, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I assume it'll be after OTAs.
I'm guessing you didn't get invited.
I did not get invited, even though I'm from Cleveland. I grew up basically down the street from the Kelseys. Yeah, you're right. Where is my invitation?
And you're famous for always giving good gifts.
That's right. No, just
yeah.
All right. He's Miles Simmons here, man. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Miles.
All right, take care, guys.
Yep. There he goes. One more segment left for us in today's show. We will come back and take a trip through the funhouse. But real quick, I almost forgot. I can't believe I almost forgot. Got another giveaway to do today.
Oh, nice.
Couldn't forget this. Two more tickets here to the Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan Double Down Tour. This thing's loaded up. If you know who these people are, Dylan Scott, Dasha, DJ Silver, DJ Rock. They're coming to Nationals Park on August 20th, giving these away courtesy of Live Nation. Today's winner will be on line 8, caller number 8, 410-583-1057. Your chance to win today. We got a chance coming up tomorrow and Friday, so no worries if you don't win today.
Big Bad Morning Show, Vinny and Haney, Inside Access, live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The Oklahoma City Thunder just sent a loud message to the rest of the West. Last night, they dismantled the Lakers 108-90 to take a 1-0 lead in the semifinals. Chet Holmgren, well, he was an absolute force, dropping 24 points and 12 boards, while the defense held LeBron to a quiet second half. The team is young, they're fast, and right now, they look like the team to beat. I'm Addie Bates.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
All right, just 5 more minutes left in today's show before we turn things over to Inside Access. They come in here, take you all the way up till 5:30 today. We got BBT with Steve Molesky and Tim Barbalace at 5:30, leading up to Game 2 tonight between the Orioles and the Marlins. Your pitching matchup, Brandon Young going for the Birds. Eury Pérez, lesser-known name, going for the Marlins, only 23 years old, and look, he could throw hard. I was talking about earlier in the show, pretty good velocity on that fastball, and the hope is that after facing two righties these last couple days who also are pushing triple digits on the radar gun, that maybe this lineup is a little more accustomed to seeing that and they can get on him. At the very least, try to get to that bullpen early. Looking at this guy's track record here, only been past into the sixth inning 3 times this year. So he's topping out around 4 or 5. Could be a case. He's decent. He's good. Make no mistake. I mean, he keeps the run, the runs pretty low, but could be an opportunity to get on him early. I mean, they got all over Sandy early last night, and I did not expect that at all. So would go a long way. And let's hope that Brandon Young can actually work with a lead much better than Chris Bassett.
We haven't gotten a lineup yet, have we?
No, that'll be later. We're only lineup territory for day games over here. But yeah, before we step out here a few minutes, let's take a trip through the funhouse.
Quick Draw's Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Speaking of Chris Bassett, Gene in Annapolis is thinking along the same lines here. Says, I have to get this off my chest. All right, Gene, let's hear it. Says, I cannot watch Bassett anymore. He drives me crazy. How many batters can he hit, walk, throw wild pitches to? This guy, you give him a lead, he gives it right back. Always pitching from behind. Been in the big leagues for, 15 years? Can't adjust to throw his curveball for a strike. Just can't watch him anymore. Well, not quite 15. He hit 10 years of service time last night, which is a big to-do for any major league player. Give him credit for that, but he has not been as advertised coming over here. It's not Charlie Morton, but it's not good. So I said last week it's apples and oranges, but they're both bruised fruit. They're both not great. The lead last night was case in point. 3 runs right out the gate. What more could you ask for? From a lineup that was struggling to get any sort of run production going in the Bronx, they explode last night. And, all right, forget giving it right back. To only go 4 innings? To not work efficiently? It's ridiculous.
Well, when you walk 3 and bean 2, you know, you're putting a lot of free runners on base. And when you're walking all, it's a lot of pitches.
Yeah.
So pitch count gets up. And then, you know, you give him some easy runs.
He said, you know,
Gene there mentioned the curveball, can't throw it. He did say after the game, he's like, I had no feel for it, you know, and usually that's a bad sign for me. If I don't have that and try to get it going again and it's not working, it's probably going to be a rough outing. But I don't know, that kind of goes against everything I heard about this guy coming in, where his pitch mix is, I don't know, he's making up pitches. He's got so many pitches. Like, all right, one's not working, I feel like you should be okay. And even for somebody who has less of a repertoire, if you're that long tenured in the league, you got to make it work, man. Just got to make it work.
And that's why, that's got to be one of the reasons why you've been there so long.
Yes. Yeah, you know how to get through those games. One more here from Chris in Bel Air says, there is no perfect Orioles lineup. That was a big topic for us today. Mm-hmm. But he said, Adley should be in there every day, whether it's as a catcher or a DH. Can't really take Jeremiah Jackson out. Too many different lineups, though, in general. Let hitters get comfortable in their slot. I would run this lineup out. Ward, Gunner, Adley, Alonzo, Basayo, Jackson, Beavers, Leote, Blaze. Couser and Mayo, too much of a liability to have in there every day. Don't hate that at all. And I definitely agree about Adley.
Who was his outfield?
Let me piece this Tavares together here. He had Tavares in there. We're assuming that's for center field. He's got Beavers in there. And he's got Ward.
So right field for Beavers.
Yeah. And look, I get it, right? Because between Beavers and Couser, one's better defensively, one's clearly better offensively, so take your pick.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, like Vinny was saying earlier. Last night's outfield, probably the best we can do defensively for sure.
So no doubt.
Hard to argue against it. That's going to do it for us today. I am out until next Tuesday. I'll talk to you then. Yeah. But
have a good trip, Nolan.
Thank you. Yeah, we're going out to Boulder. Bachelor party. We'll hopefully not get up to too much trouble, and I'll be coming back in one piece next Tuesday, but Bob Haney will be back tomorrow, ripping it with Ryan next 2 days. So we got plenty of content for you on Vinny and Haney. Stay tuned. Inside Access is next.
The teams you grew up with,
Ravens are world champions,
are the ones you still love today. 105.7 The Fan.
I'm Pat Boyle, here to help you make the most of the one sport. How about a 2-for-1 special? I'll keep the first one quick. I'm a diehard Knicks fan. I do not believe they will win by margin again. Sixers will keep game two close because the Knicks shooting numbers have to come back down to earth. Then for the nightcap, I think Minnesota is flat out the better team than the Spurs. If Anthony Edwards suits up again for game two, being double-digit underdogs is absurd to me. The free throw and turnover department was dead even in game one. I think both underdogs cover tonight. I'm Pat Boyle, Bet Smarter and Beat the Books. Download the BetMGM app today.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/play. That's ethos.com/play. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.